service by going to song number 68 this evening, Remembering in Heaven. Song number 68. Your words so that your people might be edified by it. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Let's go over to song number 3. I'll tell you which one that is when I get there. If I don't have this thing memorized, even after all these years. I'm not some savant up here. As you know, Number 3, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
And Jesus paid it all at number 3.
Paid it all to him I owe. Sing.
the service times there in the upper left-hand side. Don't forget this Thursday at 7, we'll be starting a brand new book in the Bible. So if you want to know what that is, you're just going to have to be here or one of the subsequent services. So enough about that. I won't tease you anymore. But we also have the salvations and baptisms below that. Again, just pointing out the fact that this year we were able to set a record for the number of souls saved in a year. So, and the year's not even over. Like, we're still going. So, again, I'm just really encouraged by that. It's great to have a church, though maybe smaller number, still making an impact in this community and going out and preaching the gospel. I'm thankful for faithful people who want to do the work that we're called to do and go out and preach the gospel. So I thought I'd point that out. And then also we had the farewell party in honor of Joshua and Teresa Elliott today. And there's, looks like there's still plenty of food left over. So be sure to, and people even brought more food, from what I understand, right? We have some tamales back there. At least one tamale needs to be set aside for yours truly. I've yet to have a tamale this Christmas season, and you know how I am about that. Okay, so if I'm a little crankier than usual, now you know why. So hopefully there's one back by the time I get back there. But if not, I'll just have to resign myself to another taco for money, though. But, you know, I can think of worse things. So anyway, it was great having a good turnout and seeing the Elliots off, and we'll miss them, of course. So we also have the Tempe Christmas Caroling coming up this Tuesday. If you'd like to attend, you're more than welcome to go up there and do so. You have the details there. We're not having the Christmas Eve candlelight service. I know we all know this already, but we'll be having cookies and cocoa after our regularly scheduled services. So nothing's changing on Christmas Eve Sunday. And then, I mean, I'm probably only going to leave this in here until the end of the year, but if you haven't sent me your email information, then I'm not going to send you your yearbook photo. I don't know how more plainly to say it. You know, if you, after having had your photo taken, do not then send me your email information, you're not going to get your yearbook photo, okay? Because I'm not a mind reader. You know, I tell my wife this all the time. I failed mind reading class twice.
Even if we're on the mailing list already, yes, we still have to alert you that we want a picture.
Exactly. Okay. That is, I couldn't have said any clearer. You know, although I think I have. All right. If you have your photo taken, you have to send me your email. Okay. Like, don't say, well, I sent it to you already previously, I'm on the email list. No. I'm not going to go through, like, okay, whose email do I have, whose email do I don't have, and match them up with photos. Like, ain't nobody got time for that, okay? Just, if you had your photo taken and you want the photo, I mean, maybe some people just don't want it. You know, like, I get it, you know, I see pictures of myself, and like, you know, I can't believe I actually look like that. But, you know, I don't want it. Maybe you're in my boat, you know, but if you want your yearbook photo, you have to send me your email. Not you have sent me your email in the past. You must send it to me, okay? Anyway.
What if
you
don't have an email?
I'm sorry. If you don't have an email, you know, I'll just draw you a picture. This is you. I would like you to get some crayons, and we'll just draw you. I'll print one off and bring it to you. I would bet. If you don't have an email, email me and let me know. Okay, so, I'm just kidding. Just text me. If you can't hear me, just say something. But anyway. That's enough of that. I'll try not to get too irate up here. But let's go ahead and just count up the soul winning very quickly, going back to Friday. If anyone has anything from Friday to report. Or Saturday, who the group didn't. What about?
Fabian had one for the Saturday.
Great. And then what about Sunday?
Yeah, nothing but that.
All right. Well, keep up the great work, soul winning, everybody. Let's go ahead and sing one more song before we begin preaching tonight. We're going to go over song number 138. Haven of Rest, and he told me that. That's the only reason I know that. Okay. Give me a second. Get over there myself. 138. That's 138. 138.
Your choice.
chapter number 13 tonight.
Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1, the Bible reads, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, the whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, and spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering the end of the conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary, by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, and they may do it with joy, not with grief, that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may resort it to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the covenant, the everlasting covenant, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, who will be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, to whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Brother Alvin, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening service. Thank you for our deacon who's here today to preach to us. Please edify the preaching and help him to just guide us in the word tonight and for the preaching. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in Hebrews 13, this concluding chapter, you have here at the end of Paul really just giving several different kind of commandments that are grouped together here. First of all, he says there, verses kind of 1 through 3, you know, about letting brotherly love continue and remembering those that are in bonds. He talks about marriage, your conversation. So you have just kind of these different things. I'm not going to go through it all, but are just kind of coupled together, these different commandments. We have a few verses to each one and making some other application there. But I'm really just going to focus on the first three verses tonight where it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So these first three verses here, he's basically telling us, you know, to be sympathetic, to be compassionate, and to think about other people, right? To think about, the suffering that others are going through, right? He says in verse 3, those that are in bonds as bound with them. You know, back then, it would have been much more likely for a Christian to be apprehended, incarcerated. We see that in the life of Paul, and he's saying, hey, just try to think about what that's like, to be bound even as somebody else is. And them which suffer adversity, you know, those that are going through maybe some kind of physical adversity, whether through imprisonment, maybe even some kind of a sickness or just persecution of some sort. He's saying, remember them that suffer adversity, right? And he's talking about the body as being yourselves also in the body. So he's talking about the fact that we should remember people that are in these different types of adversity, you know, specifically here, a physical adversity. And that verse, this isn't really the sermon tonight, but it always makes me think of people that maybe have some kind of a physical handicap. Obviously, those that are bound is referring probably to those that are in, you know, some kind of captivity, those that have been, you know, taken to jail or something like that. But, you know, he does also at the end mention the adversity as also in the body, right? So you could kind of even make the application You know, obviously the interpretation is that it's referring to those that are in bonds, but also that there's people that, you know, suffer physical bonds. You think people who are bound to a wheelchair or people who are bound by some kind of physical limitation in their sight or their hearing. You know, we should be sympathetic towards those people. We should have compassion on those people. And again, it's kind of a separate sermon. I really didn't even mean to go into all that, but, you know, we're looking at these first three verses, and I guess I'll just kind of explain verse 3 and get it out of the way. So, and, you know, the Bible does talk about us not setting a stumbling block before the blind, right? Not to cause the blind to stumble. And it's hard to imagine that there's even people out there like that in this world, but there are people who would exploit and take advantage of people who have physical disabilities. That certainly should not be said amongst God's people, and we also, you know, we would never exploit them, but, you know, we could be without compassion or not patient with those type of people. You know, we should make sure that we're, remembering that they have adversity. We should try to remember that we also have a body that one day might be in adversity. Bring that into, you know, 2023 America, like, how would we apply that? Well, maybe when you're at Walmart, the grocery store, and that, you know, that crippled person in front of you is just taking forever to get, you know, on their scooter or whatever like that, and it's busy, and you just want to kind of, you get that, no, I'm the only one? Okay. You know, maybe be patient. You know, maybe one day you're going to be that, if you're fortunate enough, be that elderly person with that walker who's moving slowly. I mean, I practice this all the time when I go shopping, you know, for the church at Costco and stuff like that, and it's busy, and you get those older folks who are just kind of, you know, completely oblivious to everybody else, you know, the hundreds of people that are going by them. You know, we should remember that maybe they're just suffering physical adversity. Maybe they're just, their wits aren't as sharp, they're hearing, they're seeing, maybe they have some kind of physical, you know, impediment. You know, we should remember that we also are in the body, that one day might be us. But that's not really the thrust of the sermon at all. I'm going to focus on more specifically these first three verses, is verses 1 and 2. We'll start out in verse 2 where he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So he says, be not forgetful to do these things, right? And he's saying, don't forget to do what? Entertain strangers. He's saying, be not forgetful, meaning be mindful, be reliable in this matter. Okay, don't be someone who puts this off or has to constantly be reminded to do this. And, you know, that's a phrase, you know, that Paul uses throughout the scripture to, you know, reminding people to do certain things. That's the Christian life. We have to be reminded of things if we're going to succeed in them. We cannot be forgetful, okay? We don't want to be forgetful hearers. And this is human nature, you know, and that's why a lot of times there's certain subjects that preachers just have to get up and ring the bell every so often and remind us of some things. And specifically, you know, he's talking about entertaining strangers here, right? And he's saying to not be forgetful to, you know, elsewhere Paul would say, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. He would say that he would stir up, Peter said he would stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance that they may be mindful of the words. So human nature, again, is to forget. It's to slack on these things. There's things that we have to be reminded of, okay? There's obviously some things, once we know them, we're probably never going to forget. We're never going to wonder about salvation, like, how is it that we get saved? We're never going to wonder about, you know, maybe certain doctrines like baptisms and other things. But the things that we tend to forget, the things that we tend to not be mindful in, are the things when it comes to behavior, the way we treat others. Those are the things that we have to constantly be reminded of, because the flesh is always there creeping in and trying to, you know, have its way. And people, you know, aren't necessarily, their default position isn't to be hospitable. Okay, and that's really what he's talking about here, is being hospitable. He says here, particularly to entertain strangers. Some things in our Christian life must not be neglected due to forgetfulness. We have to be reminded of these things, right? And he says, be not forgetful to what? That might not be a phrase that we're familiar with. When we think of entertain, we think of entertainment, right? That's not really what he meant, to provide them food, to take them in, basically. It's just another word for hospitality. You know, if you look that up in the dictionary, you'll see that. So he's street or something like that. And it's, you know, find some strangers to, like, dun 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 dun. It's not talking about putting on a circus, right? But he's saying, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, people that, you know, aren't from your area, people that aren't from your part of town, maybe people that are traveling. Those people, and we are hospitable. Obviously today, you know, in the, you know, living in the lap of luxury that we all very easily, but it wasn't always that way. Back in Paul's day, you know, if you traveled, you were going to probably end up relying a lot on the help of strangers. And this was just, you know, your Christian duty. If someone came to town, you know, they were going to be looking for a place to stay. And who likes to impose, you know, entertain these people, take them in, you know, be mindful of this, be conscientious. I'm going to go over to, let's see, where do I want to have you land tonight? Why don't you just go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep something there in Hebrews 4. I'll just read some other verses, and I'd like you to listen to the verses as I read them. I want to keep you on the edge of your seat here, but it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. And he goes on and says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. This is, you know, this is a good Christian concept. Chapter number 1, he says that a man of God must be a lover of hospitality. You are in 1 Peter chapter number 4, look at verse 8, he says, and above all things, use hospitality one to another without grumbling. So Hebrews chapter 13 is just one of many examples where we are reminded. And, you know, the other part of the phrase, and I'll make application here at the end, but the other thing people tend to focus on when they read this passage in Hebrews 13 is the part about angels, right? That's the one everyone thinks about, okay? They always hospitable, right? Why you should not be forgetful to entertain strangers. Why should we not be forgetful to entertain strangers? Okay. And I want to kind of break this down a little bit. Now, a lot of people, obviously, when they read this, they immediately just think what Paul is saying is that there have been times in some people's lives in which angels from heaven have been present and have been in their presence and people aren't even aware of it. Okay. Now, that's certainly true. That has happened, but, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily happened to anybody in our that we know. I don't know that I can say in my life, but one, would we even know? Because it says unawares, right? But then you'll have people who will just swear up one side and down the other, that was an angel. Well, people that have entertained angels have done it unawares, meaning they didn't know. If some angel came in and you know, into your life, like in some you know, you met somebody, you know, and they were an actual angel from heaven, you wouldn't even know it, right? And obviously, you know, we are in a spiritual world, and we're spiritual creatures. You know, that's definitely within the realm of possibility. That's what we believe. That's what the Bible teaches. But I'll point out again, it's some have entertained angels, and it's entertained past tense, meaning some people have done this. Paul's not saying use hospitality. He's not saying be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because from time to time, an angel's going to drop in on you. That's not what he said. You know, there's a strong likelihood that, you know, you better be nice, because there's a strong likelihood that at some point in your life, an angel of God is going to be in your presence. And he's going to, it's like Santa Claus or something. He's checking up on you to see who's naughty or nice or something. You know, that's not what I don't think, that's not what he's saying. That's not the primary application of this scripture. But yeah, that's where everyone's minds always go whenever they think of Hebrews 13 verses 1 through, you know, 1 and 2. They think about, oh, the fact that angels come in, might come in and out of our lives. You know, and honestly, that might be a possibility. It wouldn't surprise me if we got to heaven and, you know, that is the case, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I can't think of any instance or even a reason why that's something that has to happen in our lives. God knows whether or not we're being, you know, hospitable. God knows whether or not we are being mindful to entertain strangers. He doesn't need an angel to check up on us, right? It's like every visitor that shows up on a Sunday morning, you know, it was God just testing the church. You know, maybe, I don't know. But God already knows whether how we're gonna treat people that visit. Like, he doesn't need an angel to prove that, right? But maybe, you know, maybe those folks that were here this morning were a couple of angels just stopping in on us, like, to see how we're doing. I'd like to think we passed with flying colors. Maybe we should, it would be a good thing probably, now, I don't honestly believe that. I'm just saying, it's an example, okay? You know, maybe they were, I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing, like, we should operate under that assumption, you know, that there's going to, you know, that the people that come into our lives are important, right? And if we treated everyone as if they were a messenger from God, you know, we would probably be mindful to entertain them or to be hospitable towards them. You know, that's what we would do. We wouldn't treat them poorly. At least I hope not, right? If you knew it was an angel, you'd probably, you know, make sure, you know, you'd probably treat them very well, right? So that's kind of why I believe he's bringing that up. He's saying, hey, you know what? You need to make sure that you're not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Because some very important people might drop in on you. Some people, in fact, have even entertained strangers unawares. And, you know, and a lot of people say, well, that what he's referring to there is, you know, the Old Testament. You know, some people have entertained angels, you know, but it's some, you know, meaning few have entertained angels. And angels being, you know, heavenly beings. That's probably what's assumed by the use of angels here in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, if you would, go back to Judges 13. So that's kind of an easy one. You know, you have Hebrews 13, he's talking about angels, and then Judges 13, you have an instance where an angel showed up, and unawares, too. Okay? Because I was thinking about this, well, if he's saying some people have entertained angels unawares, like, who's he referring to? Is he referring to people in the Old Testament? Because, you know, and I'm sure there's probably more than one instance that I'm probably just not, it's not coming to mind. But most people in the Old Testament knew that they were angels, when you think about it. You know, when the angels came and visited Lot in Sodom, like, he knew they were angels, right? He brings them in, right? And he tries to protect them. The one instance I could think of was when it came to Samson's parents, which we were going to read in Judges chapter 13, and we'll move through it quickly here. But it says in verse 2, and there was a certain man named Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And he tells her about the things, the way she has to conduct herself because of the fact that he would be a Nazarite from the womb. Then it says in verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me. Now, she says a man of God. She didn't say an angel, okay? A man of God is like a prophet, you know, a preacher. That's what, you know, Samuel was a man of God. That's a good example of that. A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked not whence he was, neither told me his name. So he's saying, he looked like an angel. He might have been, but I didn't know. So she just calls him a man of God. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do to the child that shall be born. Verse 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Noah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man that hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came unto the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. I love how Manoah kind of refers to his wife, the woman. Verse 15, I do not recommend talking to your wife. I'm just saying that in her presence. Did you talk to the woman? My wife, you know, would have been the respectful way to put that, Manoah. Anyway, verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee, that we may have made ready a kid for thee. So we skipped over some verses, but basically the angel says, I am, talks about the Nazarite vow. And Manoah says, you know, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. A kid being a lamb, children, don't worry, okay, it's not that kind of kid. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of any of thy bread. And if thou offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. Look at the end there. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So here you have an example of somebody who's entertaining a stranger, or at least attempting to, right? Saying, let us make a kid, you know, sit down, eat. And they don't know that it is an angel. And in Manoah, verse 17, said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy saying shall come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why seekest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went upward toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame off the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. So basically what happens, they make this offering, and as the flame is going up, the angel just kind of jumps into the flame, right? That's not something a person would typically do, and goes up into heaven. It says in verse 21, but the angel did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was an angel of the Lord. So, say, what is Hebrews 13 referring to? Perhaps this story. You know, perhaps he's referring back to the fact that there were people in the Old Testament that entertained angels unaware. You know, and I'm probably missing some other references that we can go to, but this is a really good example of that, because the Bible's real clear in saying He didn't know it was an angel until afterward, right? So when we read Hebrews 13, you know, the main application is not that, you know, hey, make sure you're nice because an angel might drop in on you, okay? He's saying, you know, we should be mindful, not forgetful, to entertain strangers, because some there have, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares, right? And I believe what also it could be saying here, what's being implied is that, you know, if we are hospitable people, you know, we're going to attract God's blessing, right? You know, people who are not forgetful to entertain strangers, they have entertained angels unawares. You know, God was able to send people to them, had important messages brought to them, whatever. God entrusted their well-being to other people, right? Because, you know, they would be taken care of, okay? That might be another interpretation here. But what I don't think it's saying is that you and I are going to have angels dropping in on us, so we better be nice, okay? We should be nice, and if we are, you know, maybe not angels, but we will attract, you know, the right kind of people to this church, okay? And, you know, that's the application I really want to make. I'm not preaching this because I think this is something we're lacking in, you know. But again, the reason why I think our church is good about this, about, you know, I'm not saying we're good about, you know, opening up our homes and just inviting strangers in, because there's really not a need for that, you know. If we needed to, I'm sure, you know, people would. If there was that serious of a need, I'm sure people, you know, maybe even just rent a hotel room for somebody or something. That's another option. That's hospitality, right? Providing food and lodging, basically, is all we're talking about. You know, but I think our church is good about greeting people when they come in here, making people feel welcome. But, you know, I want that to continue. You know, I don't want that to be something that we kind of, you know, fall off on and then I have to come back and revisit it. When something's going good, that's the time to kind of bring it up, because then nobody gets mad at you, right? Because no one's like, oh, he's preaching about me. You know, no one gets under conviction or anything like that, right? But it is one of these things that we have to be reminded of. And that's something that, that's why it's brought up so often in the scripture. I mean, that's why it literally has to be a requirement, you know, a qualification, rather, for the pastor, right? Because the pastor is an example to the flock. You know, and that's, you know, that's why I'm always trying to greet visitors when they come in, make them feel welcome. And when they leave, too, you know, go over there and say goodbye, thank you for coming, and tell them we're glad to see you, hope to see you again. So, you know, trying to set that example, okay? And I feel like we've done a good job of that here. But I think that's really what Paul's getting at here when he's saying to entertain angels, right? When he's saying, hey, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, because the right kind of people will come your way, important people, people that are worthy of your time and attention, okay? And look, people that come to our church, they're worthy of our time and attention. And I'm not saying we have to fall over ourselves and you know, but they're worthy of being greeted, of welcomed in, and made to feel at home here. Now, you know, the other thing we'll say, well, hey, wait a minute, what about ministering spirits, right? What, you know, the Bible does say that, you know, we have angels. If you want to look at Hebrews 1, if you're there, verse 14, he says, are they angels, referring to the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So I don't want to crush anyone's hopes and dreams that angels aren't there to help you, or that an angel might actually come into your life and do something. You know, the Bible does say very clearly, verse 14, that angels are what? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, who is going to be heirs of salvation? It's me and you, the saved, right? That's you. So the Bible's telling us that, you know, there are angels that are sent forth to minister on our behalf. So I'm not trying to just, like, you know, crush people's, hopes that angels are there to minister to us, because the Bible says they clearly are. I just don't think that's what Hebrews 13 is getting at. Be hospitable because angels are going to drop in on you and check up on you or something like that. That's not what it's saying. I don't think. You know, that's kind of my opinion. I think Paul's using that as an example. Hey, make sure that you're not forgetful to entertain strangers, because some people have entertained angels unawares. You know, you don't know who it is you're talking to when you're talking to somebody. You know, when people come in here, we might just assume things about them. We might look at the way they're dressed or the way they talk or the way they conduct themselves and just kind of make, you know, assumptions about them, right? But, you know, what's interesting is you get to know people and you start talking to people, you might be surprised. You know, you might find out you're completely wrong to think a certain way about somebody. And you might actually be really surprised about what they know, or, you know, what kind of wisdom they have to offer, or whatever, what kind of influence they could have on your life. You know, the people that come into our lives should not be taken for granted. That's really what I'm trying to get at this evening. And I know I'm kind of going the long way about doing it. But, you know, hopefully we're learning some additional things about the Word of God tonight in the process of doing this. But what I'm really driving at is that, you know, we need to not take people for granted in our lives. Okay? The people that come into our lives should be, you know, looked after. We should entertain them, so to speak. We should care about them, because you don't know what kind of an impact people are going to have in your life or what kind of impact you're going to have on them. So don't take people for granted. I think that's what Paul is trying to get across there, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. To not be forgetful to entertain strangers. It could be that stranger could turn out to be a very important person in your life. You know, what kind of brought up this whole thing, and I'm kind of preaching it now because they're not here and I don't want to make it awkward, you know, but obviously the Elliots have amicably, meaning in a good way, left the church. You know, that was, you know, they're going on to serve God up there in Seattle, and I'm glad for that. But, you know, they are endeared to our church, you know, and we to them. But, you know, there was a day when you first met them. You know, there was a day when you first met Brother Josh and Miss Teresa, and I'm not saying, I don't know what you thought. You know, I can't speak for you. But, you know, you probably didn't think, you know, I'm going to know these people for several years. You know, and then, you know, you got to try the cookies at the cookie bake-off, right? And you're like, I'm really glad I was nice to these people. You know, you got to try the lumpias when Brother Josh brought those. You're like, man, I was really glad I was nice to Brother Josh, right? Or maybe you went out to their property, and you know, they took you in as friends and as kind of a spiritual family, and, you know, we had a relationship with them. But, you know, what if we had just shown them a cold shoulder, taken no interest in them? You know, they might not have even wanted to come here. Who knows? You know, I believe they have enough spiritual character to get over that anyway. But, you know, they might have gone to a different church or something like that and not have been blessed and been the blessing that they have been to our church. Okay, so that's kind of what got me thinking about that. You know, it was just this morning or on the way home this afternoon, I was just kind of thinking about, hey, you know, there was a day when we first met these people. And that's the truth for every single one of us. You know, there was a day when we first met and we thought, what a weirdo. Just kidding. Like, I don't like this guy, or I don't know if she's funny or something like that. I don't know. Like, maybe we had some kind of a feeling. Maybe I'm just being silly. Obviously, you know, I'm not saying everyone here had a negative first impression of everybody. But, you know, none of us saw this coming. You know, none of us could see, you know, here we are 5 years later, you know, and having, you know, grown closer as we have and gone through the experiences that we have, you know. But if none of that would have happened if we hadn't entertained one another, if we hadn't took each other into our lives and said, hey, let's be a part of this body and go through with this. And obviously there's been people that have gone, you know, and people that have come and gone out of this church, you know, and, you know, we're not really a part of their lives, right? Because, you know, they, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they didn't entertain us and perhaps we them, you know, we don't have that opportunity. I'm just kind of rambling tonight, I know, but I wanted to get that thought across tonight, is that, you know, we want to entertain people, be hospitable, and bring them in because, you know, not just because this might be an angel. You know, the angels are great. We all have ministering spirits, okay? But the ministering spirit is the one that's going to get you out of the ditch, or, you know, the one that's going to, I don't know, do some kind of a miracle in your life. I've heard different testimonies over the years where people said, all of a sudden they're in some kind of peril and they said, Lord, help me, and something miraculous happened, and they attribute it to some unseen angel. And you know what? Amen. I'm not going to sit here and say that's not possible. It very well likely could have been that way. But again, I'm rambling. But what he's trying to get across here is that, you know, we need to make sure we entreat people well, because there might be more important than you think. And not because of who they are, some kind of status, but because of the impact and influence that they can have on your life and you theirs. You know, the Elliots expressed to us, you know, what an impact we had in this church upon them. You know, that's why they didn't just go anywhere. You know, they went back to a place where they knew they were going to be able to serve God and help a church there. You know, I believe that's because of the impact that and the influence that this church had upon them. You know, so don't ever underestimate the people in your life. Don't take them for granted. Let me move along here, though. This is not going to be a really long sermon. You know, another possibility, about what it means, what angels might mean here is, you know, men of God, right? It might even be Paul. Paul might even be referring to himself, although I don't think he is. Because if you remember, angels are what's used to describe pastors in Revelations 2 and 3. When he writes to the seven churches which are in Asia, he says, you know, under the church here, you know, right under the angel which is in the church in, you know these churches. He's saying right unto the angel, right, in Smyrna, Cappadocia, you know, all these different places, okay? Thyatira, so on and so forth. But he says, unto the angel which is in that church. And that angel is referring to a pastor, right? It could refer to a man of God or perhaps even Paul himself. You know, there's probably people in Paul's life that entertained him, that showed hospitality, and had no idea that they were bringing into their home, you know, one of the most powerful, influential Christians that have ever lived. I mean, that's pretty big deal. You know, how would you like to say, well, you know, Paul stayed at my house. You know, that's the pillow he slept on. You know? This is the spoon he used. I've never washed it since. You know, that'd be creepy, right? But it would be cool though. They'd say, hey, you know, I had Paul over. You know, well, where are you staying tonight, Paul? I'm staying at so and so's house, and you're kind of like, yeah, that's right. You know. That'd be cool, right? You know, be hospitable towards people. You never know who they might be. But again, the message of Hebrews 13 here, verses 1 through 3, I believe, is to not take brethren for granted. And I mentioned earlier, did you notice when I read all those verses? And if you're there still in 1 Peter chapter number 4, the theme that's associated with being hospitable, it's brotherly love. Notice that it's love and charity, or what an association here with this word. As it says in Hebrews 13, the first commandment in the first verse is let brotherly love continue, right? And I love that Paul is able to say that, you know, to these people that he's writing to. Not, hey, you need to start loving in a brotherly way. Let brotherly love begin. He says, let it continue. Meaning, you got it right, you're doing it right, okay? And that's all I'm trying to say tonight. Hey, I believe we're good on this. We're doing a good job. Let's let it continue. You know, let brotherly love continue. But that's the theme that's associated. Romans 12, again, I'll read to you. Let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectionate another with brotherly love. Give into hospitality. You know, a bishop has to be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Where you are in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity, which is just another word for love, among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, well, if the Bible says I have to, I guess I will. That's a grudging way to show hospitality, okay? And so my point is that, you know, if you're going to show hospitality, if you're not going to be forgetful to entertain strangers, if you're going to use hospitality, it has to come from a place of love. It has to be genuine, too. It can't be grudging. Well, the Bible says I have to be nice. Deacon said I should treat people well, so how you doing? You know, it's insincere. It's fake, right? It should come from a place of genuine love. And again, love there, and I'm not just talking about the emotional, lovey-dovey, you know, you put butterflies in my stomach kind of love. He's talking about, you know, it's a very practical thing. The brotherly love there is talking about being there for somebody, right? Using hospitality, helping someone out, you know, meeting somebody's need. That's what I mean by brotherly love. That's what the Bible means by brotherly love. It's associated with action, meeting needs. Why? Because, you know, we rely on one another. Whether we like to admit that or not, people rely on other people in their lives. We need to have that. We need to have other people in our lives that when we're down, when we're having struggles, and maybe even it is an emotional nature, maybe even if it's something we're going through in our minds or in our hearts, you know, we need to be able to rely on other people in our lives to help us through those times. Or maybe it's some kind of physical need. Like maybe your car breaks down in the middle somewhere. I don't know. You know, everyone's thinking like, yeah, I remember that time, Deacon. You know, everyone's helped me with my vehicles over the years probably at this point. But no more. Okay, we got a good one. But you know what I'm saying? Like you might have some physical need. You know, you might, maybe it's something real practical. You know, you just got to get something done. Right? We should be mindful of one another. Have that love that's there to take action, because people rely on one another. They need other people. And we cannot underestimate the impact we have on other people, for better or worse. Go to Galatians 6. I'll close there. Galatians chapter number 6. So that's my message tonight. You know, it's let brotherly love continue. You know, entertaining. You say, why did you call it? The sermon's called "Entertaining Angels." It's clickbait. Okay. Because no one's gonna watch a sermon called "Brotherly Love." They're not. They're gonna watch one called "Entertaining Angels." You know, ooh, angel talk. You know, angelology. You know, they're gonna get into that. Mark my words. This sermon will have more views than a lot of these other ones. You know, not that I care, but you know, it's an important topic. You know, it's something that people need to hear. You know, it's more important to be in a church, you know, being part of a local assembly, you know, and helping one another, rather than just being online and understanding some obscure doctrine about angels or something like that. You know, people can have a lot of head knowledge about the Bible and never put it into use because they're just simply not in church, not being part of a body. And this is what it means to be part of a body, of a church, is to have brotherly love one toward another, to have fervent charity towards the brethren. As it says, they're having charity, fervent charity among yourselves, using hospitality. Why? Because some have entertained angels unawares. Some have entertained people who have had a very big impact on other people. We don't know how big of an impact people are going to have on us and we on them, for better or worse. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's interesting that it's tied in with these verses. That we all know this one, right? You know, the sowing, you reap what you sow. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, what is it that we're supposed to be doing when it comes to sowing, right? To not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in sowing to the Spirit. Don't get burnt out on doing that. Doing right is hard to do, right? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look at verse 10, though. As we therefore have opportunity. So 10 is kind of like the practical application. Verses 7, 8, and 9 are kind of the admonition, right? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Be not weary in well-doing. Okay, well, give me something to take home, Paul. What am I supposed to do? Give me something specific. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are household of faith. You know, the sowing that we need to do in our lives is doing good unto other people. That's sowing to the Spirit, right? If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to have the fruits of the Spirit, and that's not just for us. You know, obviously we get a lot of personal benefit from it, but if we're going to walk in the Spirit, you know, that should project out and have an impact on other people. We should be doing things for others, preaching them the gospel, doing right unto them, whatever, doing good unto all men, but especially unto them that are household of faith. You know, the children of God need each other. You know, we need the admonishment, the encouragement that comes with being part of a local body. It's not, you're not going to succeed in a Christian life without it. You're just not. You're not going to do the works of God that you're supposed to be doing without the local church. Okay, and a church needs to be united and strong. And, you know, praise God, I believe we have that here. I believe that, you know, we have a church that's charitable, that, you know, has fervent charity one toward another. You know, and all I'm saying tonight is, hey, let brotherly love continue. I was very encouraged this morning. You know, obviously it's always sad to see people go, you know. It's sad, you know, to part company with people. But I was also very encouraged by, you know, the fact that there was, you know, people showing up and showing, you know, our church members love and us being able to see members of this body off in a good way. And them expressing, you know, what an impact that we've had on them and they on us. You know, and all I'm saying tonight is, hey, let brotherly love continue. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the body of Christ that you've assembled here. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen it, Lord, in the coming year, especially, Lord, that you would help us to continue in brotherly love, and Lord, and help us to continue to do good unto all men. Lord, help us to continue to reach even more souls for Christ in this coming year. And help us to understand, Lord, that we need one another and for our spiritual needs, Lord, and physical needs and other needs, Lord, that we need this body in order to be able to serve you. And Lord, help us to sow to the Spirit here in this church, Lord, by doing good unto all men and unto one another. We ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song.